All right, I'm excited for this afternoon. I'm always excited to get in here, but we're going to miss out on Noodles. But Jonas is back. Jonas is in studio. Jonas Seager from The Athletic. The meeting of the minds, I believe it's underway. I don't think you guys officially have come face-to-face, but I know you've been exchanging emails, going back on video. This is really, really exciting stuff. And I guess we got some fresh material coming off a Leaf game last night. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Again, Brian Hazy, O-Doug, Jeff O'Neill, and Jonas Seager from The Athletic.
I think we've been having like those... Wait, go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
You guys got the messages. I mean, I sent them to you today. Hazy, you were on that chain. You were on the chain, and you saw the eye test clips. We don't need to tell the listeners what they're about.
No, we absolutely do.
You guys saw the eye.
Do.
Okay, go ahead then, Jonas. Go ahead.
Well, I think what's really interesting is so Jeff sent some clips of Brian and my son, William Nylander. Some questionable, what would you call it, Brian? Questionable efforts in certain situations?
Honestly, I didn't waste a second looking at it. I'm not going to lie to you. This is between you two. I'm not that interested in it, but you go ahead. You broke down the tape. Sent it. Jonas, you looked at it. It's your guy. You love William Nylander. Apparently, likes William Nylander. Maybe he's not in love with William Nylander. But go ahead, Jonas. How did you receive it? Because, again, you got to remember, the audience did not see these, so we can't get too in-depth
in
what was going on during a text chain. But go ahead, Jonas.
So here's what's interesting about those, Jeff. You were clearly searching for some ammunition, right? You went into that game saying, I need to bury this guy. I need to find the clips. Did you have any clips of him looking like really good, by the way, or you didn't show those to us?
Jonas, that's where you're wrong, and I'll end this debate right here because I can tell our host is already getting annoyed. I don't look for that. I was doing something else that I have to do in the pregame, and I just said if I see anything, I'll just clip it to show my friend Jonas. And at the end of the day, William Nylander, this is what he's got to do. He has to find a way to play more consistently.
Agreed.
If he wants to use purely skill, go ahead. That's what Sergei Fedorov did. He wasn't a gritty guy. He wasn't going in the corners. He wasn't grinding down people. But he used his skill every time. So I don't care how he does it. I just think he has to be more consistent.
We are in agreement on that.
End of story, Hayes.
Sorry, Hayes. Go ahead.
Okay. Then that's the end. Yeah.
Okay. We're having some technical difficulties. I'm wondering if we're catching up on a delay. I don't know what's going on. I can't see on the screen, so I don't know what is going on here. But, listen, last night, I don't know what to make of it because Dave Tippett has everyone acting as if we shouldn't be trusting our lying eyes based on what we saw last night. Because I get the impression like the unanimous reception was that it was a lifeless hockey game. Like that's how I saw it. That's how Sheldon Keefe saw it after the game. Like Sheldon said bluntly, he's like, we just didn't do anything. Like that's pretty much a direct quote. And we have a clip here from Tippett. We'll play it in just a moment. And I understand where he's going with this, and I've received some feedback from some Leaf fans based on a tweet I sent out last night where I didn't think it was much of a game. I thought it was a lifeless game. I didn't think there was any activity. I didn't think there was any animosity. It didn't seem like a divisional battle between two teams. It just felt like a game on a Wednesday in January, like in a conventional season. I didn't think any of the best players played that well. Again, I just didn't see any spark. But the reaction was, well, the chances were low, the shots were contained, the neutral zone was clogged. Maybe it was more of a defensive masterpiece than I am willing to accept because I didn't see it that way. But this is what Dave Tippett, the head coach of the Oilers, had to say postgame last night.
It's almost funny to me how everybody talked all summer about Toronto and Edmonton have to defend better, and then Toronto and Edmonton actually defend well, and now they think it's a bad hockey game, so... That it just baffles me sometimes hearing what's going on.
So, yeah, that's the old John Tortorella, how dare you jump on Sheldon Keefe after I won the series. He goes out there and supports his guy. And now Tippett, who's a defensively-minded coach and wants his team to play a low-scoring game and wants him to be, you know, consistent defensively and commit to details, they get the win. So he's like, it was beautiful for him, not so much for Sheldon Keefe, but – maybe you guys saw it differently. I didn't see it as two teams grinding, battling, playing high hockey IQ, finding the right angles to cut down opportunities. I just saw no life in the game last night. I thought it was a disappointing game.
I saw I saw no life, Brian, and I'll kind of throw a bone to the players. The best, kind of one of the best elements of being a pro hockey player is playing in front of a packed arena. And I know that arena down there isn't the liveliest place, but game in and gate out, when you're skating, and I know, don't give me the old, I know people are going to say, you get paid millions, you got to do your job. But it's like pro athletes like showing off for people. That's what they like to do. They like to perform in front of people. And when you're going to have duds like that, and Dave Tippett, he's right. There was, like, defensive play, but that game had no zip.
That's it.
Like, it was, like, brutal passes and just, I mean, it wasn't hard to be good defensively because both teams were so bad offensively. There was just nothing going.
That's
there was nothing
exactly
cooking.
How I saw it. It was a defensive, yeah, it's like stalwart based on osmosis more than anything else.
Yes, it was like nobody had anything cooking. I mean, Connor McDavid, there was maybe a kind of a couple little half breakaways, which for him, this guy gets two or three natural clean breakaways per game, but there was nothing either way. Auston Matthews had some token shot opportunities, but I kind of think it's going to happen more than we think because you skate out, game in and gate out, and there's just no fans out there. It's like there's no energy in this building.
I can tell
there's
you guys.
Nothing.
Yeah, Jeff, from being in there, it is like soul sucking. I texted someone during the game and said, I miss fans. I've never like missed fans more, and there's only a handful of games, but I missed it last night. There was no intensity in the building. It just has this very weird feel. It's like almost like you're watching a beer league, the best possible beer league game in like this massive 19,000 seat arena. Like it doesn't, most nights it's not going to feel great, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not going to have energy. It's not going to have, like, the guys coming to the ice, they score a goal. Like, look at the reactions when they score goals. It's not the same. It's what you're talking about, Jeff.
Well, and that is where it is most noticeable. It's not during the play. You know, if you're on a breakaway, you're not like, man, I'm going to half-ass it. There's no fans in here to rile me up. You know, or, hey, I got to make a cross-ice pass here. I might not make it tape to tape because 19,000 people aren't in the stands. Where the fans factor in is the emotion after a goal. I think the emotion after a whistle. There wasn't a scrum last night. Yeah. There wasn't energy post-whistle. It was just, we're going for a change. See you later. I think it's a reaction to penalty calls. You know, you get more fired up. And, like, I wonder if the Muzzin trip last night, does it get called if there's 20,000 Leaf fans that are booing a dive? You know, I don't know. Do you call the dive, too, if the reaction from the fans are there? You know, potentially. Like, it's little stuff like that. That is really missing out. It's not the actual, you know, puck drop, you're playing, you're moving up and down the ice necessarily. It's after the whistles. It's, you know, there was a scrum, I think it was Russell and Kerfoot.
Yeah, behind the net.
Yeah, and it was almost like they engaged and they're like, all right, let's see where this goes. And then they're like, nah, forget it.
It was over within 5 seconds.
Kerfoot
started laughing. He's like, yeah,
this is silly. Nothing. There's no one in here. What are we doing? This is a bad game. Let's just move on. And it was kind of, that is where I think you'd have an example. If you had 20,000 people, closer game, there's an extra punch, couple guys come in, little details like that where you really miss it.
Well, Hayes, like we've been seeing in the NBA, there's like a million blowouts. It's like blowouts every night, and you wonder if it has something to do with not having a crowd. Like even matchups that you would think would be interesting,
yes,
are not interesting. Like you guys went into the show or into the game last night thinking this is going to be great. So much firepower, like this Matthews McDavid, and it just had no zest. Like I walked up to the gate to go into Scotiabank Arena, and it's just like you're walking into an arena where there's no fans, there's no vibe, there's no atmosphere like there normally would. Like that,
yeah.
You know how it is. Like when you go down to gate one, it's buzzing and people are in and they've got their jerseys. There's just none of that.
You've done the same thing. You've done it more than I have. You walked in that rink. You go in there, you know, 50 times a year, every year for the past decade. I've been lucky enough to go in there many, many times from pretty much every possible way. You know, every taking the train down, whether it's TTC, go, taking a cab, parking, walking close, walking from far. And every experience is a little bit different. But it's like there's that light at the end of the tunnel where you're walking into a rink with life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, it's not there. And that's fine. That's not a complaint. It's just a reality. You know, I'm happy they're playing. You know, I'd rather they're playing than not be playing by all means. And I think it'll be a lot better tomorrow night. You know, I think there's also an element of 5 games in 8 nights, I believe, for both teams. It's early in the season, limited training camp, no exhibition. It wasn't a game with life. You know, I do think there were some defensive responsibilities that showed up. Again, I think the way both teams, and in particular the Leafs, played in the neutral zone, the way they handled McDavid last night, definitely a positive. You know, I'm happy with the way the Leafs played defensively last night. I think if you're in Edmonton, you feel pretty good too. It's not like the Leafs were flying with a bunch of chances. But I think it came more down to the fact that there wasn't a jolt at any point. And we'll see what it means for tomorrow night. And there were other storylines that came out of it. Joe Thornton got injured, and it sounds like he's going to be out for an extended period of time. We don't have a timeline on it. They didn't even announce what it was. I don't believe,
Jonas.
No,
it's one of the complications with Zooms.
You can't really get the details.
Not
right?
as much, like, no.
Like, if you're someone might tell you, if you're in the room and you're sitting beside someone, they might be like, off the record, it's, we think he broke his rib or something like that, or, you know, sprained a wrist or blew his shoulder out or whatever it was.
But, man, Hayes, like, that has such, you wouldn't think that taking Joe Thornton down the lineup at this point in his career would have, like, this massive effect. It has an effect. Like, suddenly you look at their lineup, and it's just not quite as deep. You look at those third and fourth lines, and you kind of squint a little bit. It's going to be on, like, the Matthews line, and that's another, like, little storyline. Matthews didn't practice today. Is
right.
he going to play on Friday? We don't know. But, like, it's going to be more on that line to be what they've been, which is great. And it's going to be more on Nylander and Tavares, our boy, to produce and
yep.
to play even better than they have.
Well, I think it opens the door for Sheldon Keefe to maybe actually put together the best possible lines as opposed to a balanced lineup. I think it's going to go against what he probably wants to do. I mean, he's been pretty committed to Kerfoot, Mikheyev, Hyman. Like, he wants to believe in that line. I'm not sure he should believe in it, in particular because I don't see a lot out of Alex Kerfoot. Like, I just don't
really?
See him. I don't see Kerfoot as a guy you want on the ice in a one-goal game up against the best players in the league. You know, like,
yeah,
and that's
kind
of what I think he's envisioning, is it's a third line, kind of shutdown line.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to go out there and stifle the opposition. I don't see that being in his repertoire. I see it with Hyman. I see it with Mikheyev. You know, I could see, and it's not that Kerfoot's a huge drop off. I just don't picture him in the same capacity that maybe Sheldon Keefe is hoping to see at some point. But I think what this opens the door for is moving Hyman back into the top six. I think maybe Mikheyev ends up back in the top six. And instead of the balance, what Keefe might end up doing here is saying, okay, who are our six best forwards? We know who the four are. I think the other two are Mikheyev and Hyman. Like, mm-hmm. I think those are the other two guys. I think Mikheyev's had a really quality start to the year. We know exactly what Zach Hyman is. And I think if that ends up happening, that could be a little bit dangerous for Joe Thornton. You know, he's not going to lose his spot in the top 12, but I'm not convinced he returns with Matthews and Marner. You know, I think if you put, at this point, I guess it might be Jimmy Vesey tomorrow night. I don't know if that works. But let's say over the next month. Let's say Thornton's out for a month. And we don't know how long it's going to be, but arbitrarily, let's pick a month. That's like 13 games. You know, that's a fair amount of sample size. If Hyman gets back up with Matthews and Marner, or Mikheyev gets a shot and it connects and they light it up, why would you put Thornton back in there? And then all of a sudden, you're like, okay, is he a third-line winger? Is he a fourth-line winger? Like, if he's not being carried, quote-unquote, by Matthews and Marner, where does he fit? If he's with Simmons and Spezza, is that something you want to trust? You know, four slower, kind of older players? These are all question marks that are questions we won't have answers to until we know how long he's out for and exactly how the team looks without him. But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he'd get a spot back with Matthews and Marner if you put one of the other two guys, Hyman and or Mikheyev, with them and they connect. And quite frankly, I don't think he should if that happens.
The only issue you're going to run into is how much more can you possibly play Marner and Matthews? Like, they're playing,
they're
maxing
limit.
Out. Like,
yep.
I think Marner played over 26 minutes last night. He's played 24 basically every game.
Yep.
Like, you basically what you're going to need is more from Nylander and Tavares.
Yeah, but also more from a fourth line. Like, I
don't know where you're getting that from, though. Like,
I don't think they trust anyone right now. I think the Mikko Lehtinen, that's a different story. Again, he barely played. I'm not sure his skating is there yet. Like, his pace doesn't look like he can really – he doesn't
agreed.
Look comfortable
yep.
right now, right? He's not as good of a skater as I thought he was.
Me too.
And on that thought, too, I wonder how far they are away from putting Sandin in. Like, I would get – if you're going with 7D, why is Sandin not playing? Why don't you give him a shot? Like, that is your number one prospect. What is he, 20, 21 now?
20.
And he hasn't played in the better part of a year. Like, you don't want him just sitting there practicing for a long time. You're telling me Sandin can't give you those 5 minutes? I think he probably can, and I think he probably can give you even more production. I do wonder how far we are away from Sandin getting into the lineup, but I think you got to find some depth that can give you more minutes. You know, I think Simmons can give you a couple more.
Maybe.
You know, Spezza maybe a minute or two more. But I think you got to find a couple more forwards, because it can't be 25, 26 minutes a night for Matthews and Marner, which is pretty incredible when you consider where we were this time last year, right, Jonas? Or
yes.
A year and a half ago when Babcock was still here and these guys were playing 17 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, there's a balance. It's probably 21, 22 minutes a night. That's kind of what you want, ideally.
And you know what really hurts now is not having Nick Robertson. And now Nick Robertson might not be ready for the NHL. We don't know. He played 2 minutes. He's 19. He had those, I guess, 4 games in the playoffs or play-in or whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
But you think about it now. You take Thornton out and suddenly, let's say Robertson's around. Okay, maybe you can play him with Tavares or maybe you can play him with Kerfoot. You take two cogs out. And this is going to be a problem for teams across the league, not just with injuries. We'll probably talk about the Capitals and some of the COVID stuff that went on there. But, you're going to have to rely on Pierre Engvall. He's back. He's back from, being, totally off the radar to probably playing on Friday night. You're going to need, Travis Boyd and maybe Joey Anderson. All these guys are probably going to play.
Yep, they are at some point. Now, you got two injuries right now. Thornton and Robertson are out. For a few weeks, probably. Yeah. We don't know exactly what the timeline is, but right off the board, 5 games in and 2 guys are going to be out and miss maybe upwards of 10, 12, 15 games. So you got to fill those spots. And there's a chance, pretty good chance at some point a defenseman's going to go down.
Yep.
This is what is coming this year. And they have avoided COVID altogether. That Washington story is wild, where the 4 players – were, I guess, in the same room in a hotel, got caught, which I don't know all the details on this. You might be able to enlighten me on this. Did the Capitals rat out their own players?
That's what I was wondering. How did they get caught?
How did they get caught if they were at the hotel in a room together?
Well, I do know that
without a mask on.
I think there's a compliance officer for each team. So I don't know how it works.
Must have knocked on the door and said, what are you guys doing in here?
Yeah,
because the 4 of them are out for 4 games. Now Ilya Samsonov, the goalie, the starting goalie, it was reported earlier today he's tested positive for COVID. So if he has COVID and you got Kuznetsov in there, Ovechkin and Orlov in there, do they have COVID? According to Ovechkin's wife on Instagram, which makes this the weirdest house of cards type story already, he's got the antibodies, which would suggest Ovechkin's had COVID. But when did he have COVID? If he's had it, then I guess he's not overly concerned about the protocols. But that's a pretty big hit. And I think it's the right play by the NHL. If you're going to have rules and you want to keep this on the rails, and it's about saving as much money as you can when you know you're losing a lot of money, these players have got to be committed to the rules. I don't care if you've had COVID or not. I don't care if you think it's innocent. You can't break the rules. If you've got them, you got to hold them to them. And I think it actually goes a long way that Ovechkin is the first guy to get clipped, right? If it's some random fourth-line player on Nashville, it's not a story. It's a story because it's Alex Ovechkin. It might be a blessing in disguise for the league. We're going to clip you. If we find you breaking the rules, you're out. We don't care who you are. Ovechkin, see you later. 4 games.
Well, and all you need to do, Hayes, is look at the NBA. I think they just postponed the next 3 Memphis games.
Yes, they did.
Games are getting canceled, postponed, not canceled, I guess postponed all the time.
Yep.
Washington, I don't think has played, I think they've not played their last 5 or 6 games. It's, the NHL is probably very, very nervous. I'm sure this was built into the schedule. There's some flexibility with the schedule at the end, I think. But I would be very wary and very nervous of that happening in the NHL if I was running the league.
I would, too. I think what we've learned from other leagues is they're going to get to the end, though.
Scrap to the end. But you're thinking of the NFL, Brian. That's just not
baseball
the same amount of games.
Baseball, too. Baseball. Now, baseball was in the summer. The numbers were a little bit different. But remember, there was a point where I think it was St. Louis had played 5 games and the rest of the teams in baseball had played 17 or 18. And they got there. It's going to get there. It's going to be a mess. There's going to be teams that have to play, you know, back-to-back, day off, back-to-back, you know, maybe teams that don't reach the 56-game plateau, maybe they play 50 and it's point percentages.
And they play scrubs. Like, they have to play like their 12th man.
Exactly. Like, that's just the reality of pro sports is simply you're trying to get through it. You know, you're trying to get through it. Jason Strudwick will join us. It's going to be tough to have Struddy on after the Oilers roll into town and pick up a win. But we'll get his take on that. He's a defensive player. He played defense in the NHL. He loves a strong defensive masterpiece, and maybe that's what he saw last night. Get into it with him. Rays coming up just after 5 o'clock. We're going to look ahead to the big weekend in the NFL and kind of rank the best outcomes in terms of compelling storylines for winners this weekend. And who would win the Super Bowl and the best matchups. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Back into the Raptors, who had a tough outing last night. Man, they talk about flat. Like, they gave up the three-point shot way too often. Pretty much every key offensive statistic, they got beat down and beat down pretty bad by a depleted Miami team. Not a good night for them. We'll get into that later this afternoon as well. The O-Dog is having some technical issues, but he will be back. We will get the O-Dog back. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, our buddy Jason Strudwick will join us here in a moment. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jonas Siegel from The Athletic. And, oh, you missed us there, but Jonas was making a very compelling case for Nylander for the heart early into the season. And you can respond in whichever way you choose. But
And Rocket Richard, don't forget.
And the Rocket, yeah. And the Selke.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. Do we have you or no?
Dude, I have no idea what's going on with this nonsense. I swear to God, one more hiccup, I'm out. I'm not doing it today. And by the way, this is what's going to end my tenure at that building. When someone texts me and says, what's up with your equipment? Oh, like I know what's up with the equipment. Like I don't know. I'm not a technician. I don't know what's wrong with this stupid box or the iPhone or my laptop. I do not know. And I see you shaking your head and people are texting me and I'm going to blow a gasket. So one more time, I'm out. So just get ready for that. It's the Jonas and Hayes show. Have fun. Because I've had it, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how this continues to work on my end, to be fair. 10 months, I hit a couple of buttons and we get up and we get on the air. And it's shocking.
What's up with your equipment? I love that. Like I know.
There's no answers. I mean, I don't think it's anyone's fault. I mean, we're dealing with the internet. I guess there's some technical difficulties going on, you know, at the building. Eventually, we'll get in there. And I guess that's what we got to do. Maybe we got to fight through it and get back in the studio. Maybe that's the underlying answer here. We got to stop doing shows from home. Got to get back in. But at the same time, I don't think we're allowed to anyway, even if we wanted to. Yeah. So. Yeah, well, I was shaking my head because there was a delay. I couldn't hear you guys, and that was the issue. But we're off and running. We'll get back into the Nylander stuff. We'll break down your tape.
No, I'm not doing that either. I'm over that.
You've had enough with that?
Oh, already? I've had enough of everything, bud. I just want to talk to Strudy or something. Get him on
all
the
right.
phone.
We'll call up Strudy. What are we going to ask Strudy? If he saw that as a defensive masterpiece last night, he's probably happy. The Oilers got a win.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often for those people out in Edmonton. So let's get a man's take on it from Edmonton.
All right, here he is from TSN Radio in Edmonton. Longtime NHLer, former Oiler, Jason Strudwick. Was that a defensive masterpiece in your mind last night? Do you see eye to eye with Dave Tippett or what, Strudy?
Oh, I loved it. I absolutely love it. Dave Tippett had an interesting comment today when he was interviewed. He was asked about, you know, the pushback from fans on both Leafs and Oilers side. I mean, neither of these teams have won a lot of playoff rounds the last number of years. Yeah, they've got some offensive talent. But you build a championship team off of defense. It doesn't mean you can't score goals. It doesn't mean it can't be exciting. But that's the foundation. And you know, what I saw last night from both teams, well, were two teams that are really trying to dial in their defensive play and limit explosive players on the other team their chances. And they did a good job. Now, eventually, you want to get to the point where you can still, you know, take a little and get, you know, figure out when the times are to take a little chances and be a little risky. But it was a really good defensive battle. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, for the casual fan that watched, did they want to see Mitch Marner go through this feed and not get blown up by Puljujärvi? They want to see some fancy moves. But if you're a coach, like, this is like a step in the right direction. And you know, you can say, oh, we're going to win the game 6-4. Okay, that's great. But then you get to the playoffs and you don't win a round. And then, oh, they can't play defense. All right, this year we're going to learn to play defense. Like, at some point, a team has to put the foot down and say, we can win a tight game. We, you know, there'll be nights where your top players go off. And you know, as a defensive, you're like, oh, we're going to win this game 6-0. But some nights you got to get an ugly one. You got to win 1-0, or you know, like last night, that not, it was, none of those goals are really beautiful. I mean, I actually, Matthews was a real work of art. I like that one. But you know, sometimes you got to do that. You got to make it happen.
Strutty, you've watched this team for a long time. How long can they keep doing it? Because I'm sure you've heard Tippett lose it. They're not defending, and then they'll go out and have some sort of defensive gem like they did last night. But it doesn't seem to stick. It doesn't seem to stay around for long. So, what is your prediction
tomorrow night? No, 9-8.
No, it's like someone starting a diet, right? Today I will never eat bad food again. And then you get it, you know, a few days out, and you, oh, geez, I look pretty good in the mirror, although nothing's really changed. And then by the next weekend, you're pounding the chips and dip as you watch the Leafs Oilers play, right? So it's about discipline and about maturing as a team. And this isn't about the age of, you know, that Conn McDavid's old or young, or even for Matthews or these guys. It's about the whole team embracing the idea that, you know, we can lock it down. So, oh, your question's, it's a fair one. You know, it's one game where they did really well defensively. The other game they won, Conn McDavid won the game. It was Vancouver Canucks won, Conor McDavid, whatever it was, 4 or 5. He won them the game. But last night was a team effort. And the veterans in that room have to stand up, or the leaders, the Darnell Nurses, the Adam Larsons, the McDavids, Drysdales, Nugent Hopkins, that say, guys, we've got to be like this more often. Like, this is how we can win. Now, like I said, there'll be nights where their talent will take over. And all the Canadian teams have talent to win, to blow teams out. But you're not going to win that way every night. And when you get in the playoffs, you're not going to win that at all, as we've seen in recent years for both these groups.
Yeah, I saw it as, you know, both teams, I thought, handled the neutral zone pretty well. I mean, they slowed down the opposition, which that, again, to your point, Strutty, if you're just sitting there watching the game, wanting an entertaining game, that's the last thing anyone needs. You know, no one wants mud from blue line to blue line where nothing gets going, especially with McDavid in town. Like, you want to see this guy take off. But I thought there was also – it was a lifeless game. You know, like, okay, defense is one thing. There was no intensity. There was no pushback. I didn't think they were – even controlling the puck was – like, McDavid did not have a good night. Tavares couldn't control the puck. Like, the amount of times he turned the puck over, made bad passes, like, it was – yeah, okay, I'll give you the defense, and you're right in terms of the big picture. You got to learn to win those. I think it's easier to say – I find, you know, the beauty in that when you've got the 2 points, if you're Dave Tippett. I don't think Sheldon Keefe saw it as a defensive masterpiece. But I think it was somewhere between, okay, defensive strength, got to learn how to do that 100%, but also just two teams that had no zip. Like, I think it can be both, and that's what it was last night.
Well, you know, I'm not sure that's fair. I mean, let's look at Austin Matthews. You know, like, the guy after the game he talked about, I'm paraphrasing, but he said that we had no room out there. So I think sometimes, you know, we all think that these guys are so talented, they should be able to skate through everyone. Well, this is, they are. When you see players chasing other, like the, when the defensive players are chasing offensive players through the neutral zone, that's what they want. Old dog, he wanted that. He didn't want some guy above him. So now he's got to skate through or try to beat someone who's above him. And that means, you know, he's on the off or defensive side of the puck rather than the offensive. Got to beat that guy. Then you got to beat one or two D-men and maybe a back checker behind you. That's not fun. So you got to give the guys some credit. And the NHL is so fast now. It's so fast. Maybe the top, you know, Mike Gardner was a fast skater, but I guarantee the difference between Mike Gardner and the 12 forward on the Washington Capitals was a way bigger gap than what you have now between the fastest player on an NHL team and their 12 forward. The third and fourth lines now, I mean, the fourth line when I used to play, you know, I didn't sleep at night because I have to fight those two guys, but I sure rather fight them than have them turnstile me every time we go out there. So, you know, the game's so fast, there's nowhere to move. It's so tight. And then you add in where that team's actually trying to play hard defense, and that even makes it worse. So I think that, you know, you're right, that there wasn't a lot of jump, there wasn't a lot of life, but no one can really get anything going. So now for both teams, they have to figure out, you know, how do they get around this? How do they create space in an area where there's no space? I think of a shift in the third period where basically that the Leafs just bunched up, you know, between the dots in their own zone, and Cassian and McDavid were just taking the puck up and down the wall like it was a practice drill to the left of Anderson. And that's not a critique of the Leafs. They're like, hey, you guys can stay out there. We're not going to get dangled or embarrassed by you guys. Keep it out there, and those two can figure out how to get it in. Well, you got to figure out how to get it in there. You know, they use their points more. That's one way you can get it to the point. They try to get it with a tip to the net, but then the D-men front you. So that's kind of the next evolution. You got to figure out how to battle through it. The teams that figure that out, they'll have, you know, they're good defensive, then figure out how to battle through offensively. They're going to have more success as the season winds down and into the playoffs.
Jason, we've been talking quite a bit, actually, about William Nylander. You played with his dad in New York. I wondered if you see any of his dad in William. And, I mean, it's everything you're talking about right now. Is there a level you can see him getting to?
Well, you know, Willie, I've known him for quite a while. When I played with Michael in New York and Chicago, I got to know him a bit. And then he actually, when I was playing with New York, I was probably 30, and Willie was, whatever, 15 years ago. What does that make him? You know, 10 or something like that?
Yep.
So after one practice, he comes on the ice with us. And I can tell you right now, Willie Nylander was like 10 or 11, and he wasn't the worst player on the ice. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, what is this guy? He was dangling, and I was like, oh, my God, I got to go to the other end. I'll be, like, not just traded. I'll just be banned from the league if I'm close to this 10 or 11-year-old with this long hair. It was embarrassing. A lot of time for him, and I see how he works, you know, back then even, how he worked on his game, and his dad was a pro, so he trained like a pro. I know Willie's a very, very talented guy, and you know, but when the game kind of gets heavy, and this isn't just for Willie, but when it gets tight like that, how do you create space? You know, is he able to use his body? I can tell you as a defender, you know, it was always so frustrating. Joe Thornton or Peter Forsberg or even, you know, Jerome McGinley, those guys would, they'd welcome the contact, and then they would kind of, you know, use your momentum to push them into a direction you didn't want them to go. That's really frustrating. And now, you know, William Nylander isn't maybe as big as those three guys, but he's probably quicker. So how does he use that to create space? And, you know, as a defender, I've seen guys do it so much and figure out how to make it. Like Paul Kariya. You know, Paul was a very small player, but man, was he quick. And he played when there was dinosaurs roaming the earth. And he found a way to be quick and dangerous in a real heavy man's game back there. So it can be done, but it's really about using those, you know, get those guys to use their body on you, and you can kind of get away from them.
We're chatting with Jason Strudwick from TSN Radio out in Edmonton. And I look at this Canadian division early on. Like that game last night, the Habs-Vancouver game, that was 80s hockey. I mean, that was pretty wild back and forth. And, you know, we're about five games in for every team, and it's probably about what we expected based on the standings being pretty close, Struddy. Like, you know, there's still a lot of runway here. There's 50 games to go. But do you envision any separation? Can you picture a team or two at the top kind of running away and truly feeling like they're a lock to make the playoffs with 8 to 10 games to go? Or do you think it's going to be bunched up pretty much all year?
I think the problem is the season's too short, right? With 56 games, it's really hard to get that pull away. And then you mix that in along with 3-point games. You know, that makes it really hard. You know, of the teams I've watched, I've seen them all now in the Canadian division, you know, once or twice, some more than others. But, you know, I think Toronto, you know, I think last night was a bit of a different game, but those guys, they look strong. And I think Montreal looks really good. I love their defense. They're long. They're hard. They don't hard to get to the net. And when you do, you got to get by Carey Price or, you know, who's amazing, or Jake Allen. You know, I think, you know, Vancouver is still trying to figure it out, but, you know, it's going to be tight. I think it's really going to be tight. And I, you know, the last thing you want to do is be swept in one of these series. Winning that first game is huge. And I remember playing the American League. We'd always have those, you know, we'd play Friday, Saturday, back-to-back. And then we'd play a different team on the Sunday, was just usually a throwaway game. But our coach was like, we got to get the first 2 points because then the next night's a bonus. But the problem is the next night, like I expect from the Leafs tomorrow, you come out so hard because you don't want to get swept. So getting those sweeps is going to be tricky. And when you do, I think that's when you'll maybe create separation against the team that you're playing specifically in that series.
Strudy, before we get you out of here, your boy's in Ottawa. He's been stuck in a hotel room for like 3 days. Like, what do you think his routine is? Does he just gear down in his underpants and wander around, or what's his routine?
Well, that body, he shouldn't be getting naked anywhere. I've never sent him a text to see what he's up to. I think I've told this guy before. when you used to go to Vegas, like, Noodles was pretty self-conscious. You know, goalies back then weren't what they are now, which is Greek Adonis's. And we'd always bug him. He'd have to wear a wetsuit in the pool in Las Vegas. You know, and he'd, you know.
What do you mean, like a full surfing one?
Yeah, like he's going to go deep sea diving or so tough, but he would. Like, we'd leave our room, we'd share a room, and he'd leave wearing a robe. And I just have my swimsuit. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, it's cold in here. I'm like, at first I was like, what do you mean it's cold in here? Then I realized, you know, the big guy with the goalie butter. He had big legs and the meaty hands to stop those gloves. But, yeah, I don't know if he has the wetsuit on there. But, yeah, he should have worn a wetsuit in Vegas for sure.
I love that. Johnny Utah just cruising around the MGM. It's like, just figure it out, Noodles. Come on. Everyone needs to relax a little bit here. Well, let's get an update from Noodles. I guess he's calling the game. He's probably on his way to the barn right now. But I'll bet you he has gone rink, room. He is not
strayed.
And
you know,
he has not gone anywhere in Ottawa. No
iPad
chance.
Out, and he has not missed 1 second of NHL action.
No.
Not 1 second.
Every game. Every shift of every game.
And he sleeps in a big bathtub full of hand sanitizer just to make sure he's constantly getting sanitized.
Hey, Strutty, don't kid yourself. Don't let him make fun of your hair anymore because he got traumatized during quarantine. His wife took a picture of him playing with the kids, and someone took a beaver pelt out of his back of his hair with a golf club.
So, did he go and sin back there?
I don't know. He sent us the picture, and he's worried about it, so don't let him bug you about his hair or your hair.
That's it, because if he loses that, like, that's all he's got, right? He's got a good personality, you know, not the best-looking guy, and his full head of hair. If he loses his head of hair, he's down to just personality. That's one out of three isn't very good.
No, that doesn't take you very far, man. Personality's not going to work. I've been relying on it for a long time, believe me. Doesn't do much for you, Strutty. Great stuff, buddy. As always, we'll do this again down the road. We're looking forward to it.
We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Jason Strudwick. Friend of the show, one of our favorites. And I would love to have a tracker on Noodles. Like, love to have a tracker on him just to see what he's up to, get a read on what he's been doing in Ottawa.
Dude, nothing. I'm telling you, he has been studying goaltenders and watching NHL hockey. And he is fired up to tune into a Vegas-Anaheim game that starts at 10 p.m.
Yeah, like legitimately jacked.
What can he really do? You're not allowed to go anywhere.
Well, you're not allowed to anyway. You're like, being in a hotel right now would be a weird existence.
Yeah.
Like, are you allowed to go down to the lobby? What are you allowed to do?
Well, I heard you guys talking about the Washington stuff. I guess so you're telling me the team goes to their hotel and you're not even allowed to go over to your roommate's place for a beer in the hotel?
No.
Nothing.
Everything is just...
You just took a shower with the guy in the rink.
Yeah.
I want them to be safe and I want all the protocols, but that I just don't understand. Like, I'd like to know for my own knowing.
Just minimizing exposure where you can, right?
It is weird that you're on the bench together, you're in the room together, you're on the bus together,
you're
on the plane together.
I was showering 2 feet from that guy 20 minutes ago, but I can't go drink a cold beer beside him.
But you know what happens to the guys? If you get a positive test on the road, I think you just have to stay in the hotel. Like, the team leaves, and
yeah, there's guys with the Carolina Hurricanes
that
are stuck in the hotel in Nashville by themselves.
Yep, can't go anywhere.
For days,
yeah. And that's probably where the state regulators come into play too. You know, I'm sure you have to notify like the local health officials. You're like, we got someone from out of state that's got COVID in Tennessee. What do we do? Because they don't want you just roaming around. You know, like that's, and I would think it's probably even stricter up here. You know, if what, like with all the restrictions, with all the concerns, and every province having a different viewpoint, if a player that lives and plays in Ontario gets COVID and they're in BC, I got to think, you know, the government out there wants to know about it, and they're like, okay, track that guy. He can't move unless we know about it. And that's probably been a part of the agreement. Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes. We're going to get into the weekend slate of football games, break down the most ideal Super Bowl winners and Super Bowl matchups based on compelling storylines. And we have a new hero in the NFL, a new hero as a head coach in the NFC North.
Oh!
We'll tell you about it. We'll play the audio. We'll get to that next. All right, Ray will join us in about 15 minutes. Rod Black coming up later this afternoon. We haven't caught up with the Hot Rod in a while, and we're coming off it's a tough one. I mean, the Raptors wasn't a good night for them. They were flat. They had nothing. Defensively, again, the three-point shot for Miami was there. They lost in pretty much every statistical category you need to win. and it cost them last night. And that was
Is he still scaring people for you two? Still scaring people?
Well, yeah. That was, again, that was if they're in the playoffs based on their history. And I think the point I was making was, let's say you're Milwaukee. Would you rather play Toronto or the Knicks? Like, clearly, you'd rather play the Knicks.
By default, because they've been such a disaster forever. But that's a team without Jimmy Butler last night, dude.
I know. That you had to have that one last night. Like you're feeling good. You're getting going. You had to have that one. And you're probably going to face the same lineup tomorrow night. They got Miami again tomorrow night. So we'll get to that later on. Dan Campbell is a guy that not necessarily a household name. All right, so he was tight end in the NFL. One of these, he's a gritty, he's like tough as nails. You look at him, he looks tough. You could tell he's shredded. He's one of these guys that probably works. He's like Rod Brindamore. Like, he looks like him. He's intense like Brindamore. He was hired as the new head coach in Detroit, and he got a long-term deal. What's crazy about him is
6-year deal, didn't he?
6-year deal, which it makes no sense. Like, this is a guy who's a tight ends coach in New Orleans. Like, you know, it's not like this is Belichick you're peeling away from New England here. But he gets 6 years, fine, whatever. It's the owner's money, it doesn't matter. But he was on that 08 Lions team that went 0-16. And like, just based on that alone, the symbolism, why would you go close to a guy affiliated with a team that went 0-16? But he was on that team. He didn't play much. It was the last year of his career. But this is his introductory presser today. And it's just, it's so heroic. You're trying to win a presser, which means nothing. And I guess people in Detroit are going to appreciate this. I guess. I don't know. I'm not from there. I can't speak to it. It seems a little bit over the top. Right, you guys
first
hear
of
this?
All, yeah, let's play it, and then I'm going to tell you what the lowdown with this nonsense is. Go ahead.
So this team's going to be built on we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right, and on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right, that's going to be the mentality.
See, the thing is, when he interviewed for this job, you would like to think that that wasn't his spiel. That's not how he got the job, right? So for anyone that interviewed that man, they got to walk outside that press conference and say, what the hell did you just do in there? Do you remember when Adam Gase was staring into space and looking at redonkulous things in the...
Yeah, that
in,
one
it,
hurt.
Like,
that
it
hurt
was
his
just
image.
Like,
was
no kidding. So it's already a start where you're like, oh, you're the guy that was just looking goofy and you were staring into space. And then the dumb results followed it. And this guy starts with biting off your left and right kneecaps.
Who bites off a kneecap?
Like, I don't know, and it's just like the players are listening, and it's not the 60s anymore, dude.
That's
guys don't want to go out there and bite somebody's kneecap off.
Yep.
So Stafford and company are texting each other saying, are you looking at this donkey right now? Like, are you looking at him right now?
It's Matt Patricia 2.0. Patricia was a hero, too. We're coming
in.
We're going to meet you in the alleys. No, you're not. You meet on the field.
How about you tell the GM to get us better players and let's put something in place where we can possibly not embarrass ourselves like the last 25 years of our existence?
Well, and you look at the four teams left, all right, they're all tough in their own way. You have to be tough. You have to persevere in the NFL, in pro sports. You get to the Final Four of any league, you're tough. You're mentally tough, physically tough. But the main reason they're there is Mahomes, Allen, Rodgers, Brady. So it's not that they won the offensive line battle or, wow, in the trenches, or, man, do they play nasty. It's that their offenses are so spectacular in a sport that is now largely driven based on quarterback play.
And more specific, the quarterback makes more better plays than the other guy, and that allows your team to advance.
Yes, nothing to do with cannibalism, you know, biting off kneecaps.
Yeah, but they also all have good coaches too, right?
That helps. And maybe he's a good coach. You know, who knows? He's never been a head coach. It's just winning the introductory presser. I think he was trying to speak to, you know, he was talking about the nature of Detroit. And, you know, it's a gritty town. It's a beaten down town. It's a bankrupt town. They're starting to build up and, you know, personifying the city. Okay. But
he wanted every
Detroit.
Every grit grinder in Detroit on their couch with their barrel hanging out, smashing a Coors Light. They stood up and said, yes, we're not going to be losers anymore. But what good is that going to do for you as far
as
results?
Not much. Yeah. If you're in Detroit, like, okay, we understand our history. How about we just win? Here's the history. The Lions haven't won a playoff game in 3 decades, right?
Like, that's how long it's been?
It's been a long, long, long time.
Dude, I think we love that stuff for our show, Hayes, but if I'm kind of any kind of educated fan, I'm somewhat concerned watching that.
Yep.
I'm like, what the hell is this guy
like,
all
how
about?
Did he get the job?
It's not a good start.
No!
I'm
biting your other kneecap off.
No.
Stop it.
Good. We're going to play
we're
that.
We're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
I've never heard that.
Who gets up
and bites a kneecap? You can. No, it's probably the toughest part.
Maybe
of
bite your finger
body.
Off. Bite your finger off.
Right.
I've heard that one, but yeah. I'm not. I've never heard biting a kneecap.
I'll take off a toe, maybe a finger. You can't get a kneecap off. You can't do that. Hannibal Lecter couldn't get a kneecap off.
Nah.
We'll be playing that again later this afternoon. Hour 2 up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.